You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Friday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. A meat Friday at that. The Traegers fired up. Multiple Traegers fired up today. We got short ribs there. Going to take a little while, a couple hours. Should be ready in about an hour and a half. Go to rockauto.com for all the parts your car or truck will ever need. Rockauto.com. Family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. Two goals in mind. First, to give you direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, to make those parts affordable, they offer reliably low prices. At rockauto.com, choose the part brands, prices, features you want anytime, 24/7. Rockauto.com even has parts you've been told dealer only or no longer available. And you don't waste time and money driving around, phoning, waiting in lines. They're delivered right to your home or office. Go to rockauto.com. Make sure you tell them we sent you all the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com. Got a poll question, I believe. Got a stat of the day. All of that coming up. Major League Baseball announced yesterday that they would expand the playoff field to 16 teams this season. Here is the commissioner, Rob Manfred, explaining the playoff format in baseball.
It's going to be eight teams from each league, the three division winners, the three second place teams, and then the next two teams with the best record. There will be no first round byes. It'll be just pure seeding, one versus eight, two versus seven. And the advantage to winning the division is all three games in each series. Yeah, three game series, and they'll be played at home, all at the site of the club with the higher ranking.
All right. I didn't know that we needed to dress anything up, but the commissioner, desperate times, desperate measures. Is this something that they will adopt as they move forward? We rarely work backwards. We, you know, it's usually two steps forward and at least two steps back or one step back. In this case, it might just be two steps forward. And, you know, you're going to have 16 teams. Everybody else is adding more playoff teams, so Major League Baseball is going to do the same. Up until 1969, the regular season winners of the American League and National League met in the World Series. Then they expanded to four playoff teams until 1994. Then the wild card game came around. Since then, it keeps growing. We've gone from 8 to 10 to now 16. That's over half the league, so it's similar to what you have in the NBA and the NHL. And making the playoffs used to be a big deal. Teams earned those parties in the clubhouse, but things have changed, which means the regular season will be watered down a little bit. Although baseball, it's been watered down. This year, with 60 regular season games, now you're going to have all of those playoff games. The possibility for all that playoff revenue just makes too much sense. So I get the feeling expanded playoffs are here to stay. The question is, are they going to be adding more teams here? But, you know, this is something that baseball has been looking at doing, and they finally got around to doing it and adding more playoff teams with this 60-game regular season schedule. McLovin, what is the poll question today?
Does 16 teams water down the MLB playoffs? 68% say yes.
This year it doesn't, in my opinion. You know, this is different because this is 60 games. And all of these games are going to be important. Now, the fact that we're going to go from 10 to 16, so you're adding six more teams, will part of the regular season be watered down? I guess. But still, it's going to be your seeding, too, of where you are, 1 through 8 in the American League and the National League. I'm fine with it. I told you, I'm not going to nitpick. I was thrilled to have baseball back, even the five-inning rain-shortened game with the Yankees and the Nationals, the Dodgers. You know, Clayton Kershaw with his back, and he was scratched, and then they bring in Dustin May. Whew. Man, he was a force last night. Dodgers, you know, when you lose Clayton Kershaw, and then all of a sudden you bring in a 23-year-old, and he is throwing gas there last night. And it's not just that. Great pitchers, you have velocity. It's what you do with your curve, your slider, your changeup. And the variation there in speed, that's where you get something that's really scary. And you find that with the marquee pitchers, that ability to throw a fastball and a changeup and make it look the same. Scherzer usually does that extremely well. And they showed it last night. It was a pretty cool piece of TV that ESPN had, where they show you what his fastball is and I believe what his changeup is and the difference in when it arrives at the plate. But it's thrown in the same motion. And these hitters up there, and you're trying to guess a little bit But last night, the Yankees got to him, including Giancarlo Stanton with the home run. What's the poll question, McLevin?
So 16 teams. My side question was, did you like the cardboard cutouts? And also, if you want to ask, what did you guys think of fan noise attempts or whatever? You okay with it?
I'm not going to criticize.
Cutouts a little cheesy, okay?
I'm fine. I'm not going to be critical. Because it's easy to be critical. And I think we have to remember where we were 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And if this isn't, it's the new crazy is what I call it, not the new normal. We're not going to do this the following season. Most likely we won't be doing this. But now, if you want to try it, and it feels like this is an experimental moment for all of these leagues to try new things. The NBA trying new things in Orlando. Baseball certainly trying new things. I don't know what's going to happen with football. Can they try new things? College football, can they try new things? I saw where Barry Alvarez warns Wisconsin athletics at risk if football season is canceled. I think Barry, is he still heading up the athletic department? Is he athletic director at Wisconsin?
Yep.
Former head coach. So he's the athletic director. He's projecting revenue losses between $60 and $70 million if Wisconsin plays a conference-only 10-game season. The losses will amount to more than $100 million if the upcoming football season is canceled because of the coronavirus. You're also seeing the Pac-12 came out and said that we're going to do conference-only 10-game schedule, and we're going to start a couple of weeks later. It's all fluid. It's a sliding scale here of being able to do this, when you can do this, the safeguards that are going to be put into play. There's a whole lot of money at stake here. And that's why these athletic directors, chancellors, presidents, commissioners are trying to ensure that their sport does not get canceled. Because it's one thing to delay it. And if you even want to push it back, postpone it to the spring, then you still want to get that revenue. I saw where Urban Meyer said that if football gets moved to the spring, these high draft picks, he would recommend that they don't play. I don't think Urban Meyer would have said that if he was still coaching at Ohio State, where, hey, if it moves back to the spring, then I'm going to tell my first-round talent or second-round talent to not show up. It's like A-Rod saying, hey, if I'm the owner of the Mets, there's going to be a salary cap. I don't think he would have said that when he was playing, when he was stealing $300 million from Major League Baseball teams. But maybe. I also saw a story here, and I didn't realize it was a story, but I saw the headline. J.R. Smith only packed a week's worth of underwear for the NBA bubble. All right, you got me. I'm going to click on it. So J.R. Smith, who's with the Lakers, got signed late. He says, honestly, I pack like 7 pairs of underwear because I figured I'd be good for once a day. But then I ain't calculate all the showers in between everything that I be doing. So I be running through them in like 2-3 days. We got a good laundry system, though. Can somebody help out J.R. Smith, please? Just help him out. Like the meals, he's got it tough, man. I don't know how he's able to do this, but I wish him. I'm going to pray for him. Yeah, Paul.
I actually took the other side. It's kind of shoddy journalism. J.R. Smith only packed a week's worth of underwear. Is he supposed to pack like 70 pair in case they go to the title? Right? 7 seems fair to bring on a road trip.
I'm totally down with JR. I always run out of underwear because when you're athletic like me and JR, you sweat through, you got to do 2 or 3 a day. So that's half your underwear supply in one day. That's a lot of reliance on the laundry, which he says is good.
Yeah, but if it came from somebody other than J.R. Smith, then I might be a little more lenient. But this is a guy who's complained since he got there and the food, and now he didn't pack enough underwear. He's going in with the Lakers, who are probably going to be there for 3 months. I think if you do the calculations, you'd probably say, all right, I'm going to pack twice as much. That seems logical. If you're going to be there for 3 months, that might be logical. And it's not like you can go out to Target and have somebody buy you underwear. And I don't think you could get any shipments either, can you? I don't know if, can his wife send him underwear to make sure that he's going to be okay there in the bubble? Yeah, McLevin.
Can he send a flunky to like a team assistant?
No, nobody's allowed to go out. No.
Can someone from like, what do you call it, Tommy John, just drop off a box in front of the hotel and peel out?
I don't know if you can do that. I don't know if you could get mail. Can you get mail in the bubble?
Yeah, I'm sure you can get Amazon stuff.
Let's say somehow the Dan Patrick Show were invited to cover the NBA playoffs, and we knew we were going to be down there for 2 months. In honesty, how many pair of underwear would you bring down there if you knew you were going to be there for two months? And you had laundry service.
But this is 3 months.
Okay, 3 months. How many pair would you bring? And how many pair do you own?
Well, I have my lingerie. I have my special.
I don't own more than
boxers.
12.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, I'd probably go 2 weeks. That seems like a fair number.
I think 10 to 14 sounds about right for 3 months.
In case you can't do a load of laundry that week.
But somebody is going to do the laundry for you, I'm guessing. So you could, you know, you could have 7 in the wash and then you're still good with the others. Oh, I know who's dying to get in on this. Hey, yeah.
You know what? You pack 5-10 pairs of underwear and the rest of the way you're extra comfortable.
Yeah, but you don't wear underwear.
That's what I'm saying. You have a few backups and you have enough to get by, but you could also, the commando thing is an option. Hopefully no one pulls your shorts down and does anything.
Once again, what did I say today?
Keep it brief.
Yes.
Like brief. Oh, is that what you're doing? Keep it brief.
Yes, Seton.
You have to be able to get stuff delivered there, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, so have his wife send him some underwear.
By the way, I don't think that going commando when you're athletic is an option.
I don't... Not when you're playing basketball.
Correct.
No, it's not. But...
But I'm pretty sure that they have to be allowed to get deliveries there. So, like, just... Yes. Have more underwear sent to your room.
Yeah. It's J.R. Smith. That's the problem I have. As Todd says, hey, J.R. knows the score. Oh, that's right. He doesn't.
He does not.
No, he does not. Thank you, Todd. Chris in New York joins us on the program. Good morning, Chris. We'll talk to Joe Buck coming up in about 10 minutes from now. Hi, Chris.
Hi there. What up, DP? Dan Epps, 58171. And I have a stat of the day.
Whoa, okay. Do you want some music?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Take your pick on the music. I don't care.
Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Here comes the stat of the day!
The New York Mets have the best winning percentage on opening day. After starting 0-8, they've gone 38-12 since for a .655 overall winning percentage.
That's the stat of the day from Chris in New York, who didn't take it all the way up to the post, so let me help him a little bit.
Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Here comes the stat of the day!
By the way, if every preseason series goes the distance in baseball's 16-team format, so best of 3 to start out, then best of 5, then best of 7, and then the World Series best of 7, there would be 65 postseason games this year. And as Jason Stark points out, there were a total of 66 postseason games in the entire decade of the 1960s. But that's because we didn't have as many playoff rounds. There'd be a lot of playoff baseball this year. Dustin in Arkansas joins us on the program. Hi, Dustin.
Hey, Mr. Patrick. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
511-205. I'm an old school baseball fan, and the thing I'm most excited about this year is this might be the last time we ever get to see a World Series where the two teams did not meet in the regular season. I'm really excited about that idea.
Okay. Thank you, Dustin. Yeah, you know, the whole interleague play, if the fact the Yankees and Dodgers don't face one another, I'm fine with all of this. I am. I have no complaints. Cardboard cutouts, odd sounds. The public address announcer, a runner on second base to start extra innings. I'm good with all of this. My bar is really low. I just want to have something that is real in front of me when I'm watching it. But that being said, some of those calls in the Yankees game last night, is that Angel Hernandez who was behind the plate? Yes, Todd.
The cardboard cutouts, I think McLevin was kind of alluding to it. I think it's kind of corny. If they're raising money for charities, which I know at least some teams are, it's going to food banks and things like that, that's fantastic. But if there's any team making money off the cheese ball fatheads or whatever you want to call those, I think it's silly.
What'd you call yourself?
Fathead?
A cheese ball fathead?
It's stupid.
Let's say the Broncos can't play football with fans in the stadium.
I don't want to see like the heads of the season ticket holders that would normally be sitting
there. For $50, you can put your son in the stands at a Broncos game.
How much exposure is he getting? Where is that exactly? Is he getting on regularly?
You might get a cutaway on national TV.
You may, but it's going to be a sea of people and you probably won't see him at all. Again,
okay,
the caveat being if you're raising money, if they're doing it for a good cause, that's great. But if they're making money off of it, it's bad. It's silly.
You are Mr. Philanthropy. You are. When I think of philanthropy, I think of you.
I'm all for raising money for charity for
you're
that.
You're one of the great ones of all time.
If not, get rid of those bad heads.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. By the way, Ethan, who is back, and the sports world is a better place, he sent me a note. The Nationals, the first defending World Series champion in baseball history, whose top four home run hitters from the previous season were not in the opening day lineup. You had Anthony Rendon, who was playing for the Angels, Juan Soto, who tested positive, Matt Adams, Brian Dozier, all hit at least 20 home runs last season. Rendon, Adams, and Dozier with new teams. Soto is on the injury list. It was just, you know, when you start to think about the day yesterday, in the morning, we found out that Seattle, and people probably found out that Seattle has a hockey team. Yes, and they're going to announce the new nickname. And they did, the Krakens. I'll spare you the pain of hearing what Todd was doing with his. If you missed it, you're lucky. He gave us some.
He's in Kraken at the concession stand. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. Yeah. That's nice.
Some play on words there with the logo Kraken. For Seattle. Then Washington came out and said that they're going to call themselves the Washington football team. And then I realized after we had their head coach Ron Rivera on last hour, it's not only 1 year, this could be a 2 year process for Washington to be. Now, it shouldn't take you 2 years to come up with this. And I'm going to guess that owner is probably saying, how long can we drag this out for? Because I'm going to stick it to somebody here. And then Ron Rivera said, well, it's going to take a year, maybe a year and a half. And I went, I don't think so. But if that's what Daniel Snyder's telling you, you're just the coach there. Yeah, Paulie?
Dan, last hour you said you had a source, and I trust you, that said it takes a little while to change a logo from a team and all like that. But deep, deep down, I believe that Daniel Snyder said, look, I didn't want to change this name for years and years and years. Every year I was able to dodge this, and this year I'm not able to dodge it. But you know what? I could put it on hold for another year. I could get another year where they didn't tell me what to do. And I believe that's as much part of this as any logistics. When you're a billionaire, you can get anything you want done quickly if you write the big enough check.
Well, they got to get the trademark. They have to have a nickname first before they put anything into play.
They could announce it without bringing out logos and uniforms and all that stuff if they chose to.
You want to roll this out.
Yeah.
In fairness to Daniel Snyder, I'm told it's at least an 8-month process to get all of this. They have to make sure they got the trademark for the nickname. But if it goes over a year, then yeah, this is Daniel Snyder dragging it out. And, you know, Ron Rivera said that his wife, they held a yard sale when he left Carolina and sold all of his Carolina Panther gear. Why doesn't Washington do that with all their Redskins gear? Raise some money. Do something positive for a change. Daniel Snyder, I said this from the beginning. How does he screw it up? Right? And he's going to. Probably already has. But do something positive with this. You're going to get all of that new revenue stream. Could be the best of both worlds there for him. Joe Buck set to join us. Your phone calls as well are welcome. We'll also talk to George Brett. Are we sure it was on this day? When he had the pine tar?
I'm going to go all in, put all my chips on the table. I know I've made several mistakes with the scoreboard on this day in history.
Now, keep in mind, the game started on this day. It wasn't completed
on
this
day. Don't even. Okay. The pine tar incident, I'm very hopeful, was, in fact, 37 years ago.
And Ethan, our stats guy, graduated from Harvard. He sent me an unbelievable stat about George Brett after the pine tar game. So I'll have that for you coming up. But that's Ethan just doing what Ethan does.
That's hot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
Real timely.
20 after the hour. Joe Buck will join us after this on the Dan Patrick Show. Oh, when's the last time you got a great night's sleep? I did last night. I mean, that's why I'm in a good mood to put up with Todd's, you know, nonsense here. Yeah, Todd.
I actually had a terrible night's sleep. Not that you asked, but someone egged our house, and it's not even Halloween. What is that about? We live in a nice suburban town in Connecticut, and we heard a bang at 11 o'clock at night outside my daughter's window, and they hit the side house, and they hit the front of the house. There was like, it wasn't just one egg. Someone threw like several eggs, some kind of egg by, drive-by thing.
Yeah, and my aim is not that good. My shoulder hurts, and I can't get that much on it.
Who does that on 11 o'clock at night on July 23rd? Is
yes,
that some
top
holiday?
Dan, I don't want to speculate, but he's got a 17-year-old son. Maybe he spurned someone, or maybe there's some type of triangle in the public school system, and he burned the wrong person.
It was very traumatizing.
Who would egg Fritzy's house?
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Tyler, the moderator, moderating Chat Row, said that some people had some headlines of sorts for Fritzy. Fritzy's house got egg last night. People said, are you going to do mock egg egg lines? And also, it's a yolk off, too.
See, I don't appreciate that. That was a traumatic late night bad experience that we had with people throwing eggs at our house. Who would expect that on July 23rd or any date other than Halloween? And even then, you shouldn't be doing that.
He's Joe Buck, lead play-by-play voice for Fox Sports, NFL, baseball. And he's got a game this Saturday. He's got the Yankees and the Nationals. Joe, kind enough to join us. What kind of hijinks did you get into when you were growing up?
I never egged anybody. I felt like that would come back on us and bring shame upon my father. So I didn't think that was a good thing to do. I will say that you might want to investigate me in this whole caper, because for some reason, Todd keeps texting my wife. I don't know if you know that, but Todd cannot, for some reason, differentiate my number from my wife's number. And so periodically my wife would go, that guy's texting me. Who is this guy? I mean, I don't want to pop his bubble.
Do you think it's an accident, Joe? A coincidence?
No, I don't.
Okay, it's not.
I think he's fallen in love with her from Celebrity Watch Party and her time at ESPN. And now I finally took matters into my own hands and egged his house.
Todd, you want
to
respond?
It's very possible that Joe may have egged my house, because I have both numbers stored under Joe's name, and I guess when I'm sending it, it's going to the wrong place. And I've done this like several times now. You think I would have gotten
years
it figured out?
Years. Joe's been married for a while.
I know.
I don't get it.
But it's not that hard. It's not.
Do you do this to your other guests, spouses?
Very rarely.
Did you have fans show up at your house to meet your dad growing up?
Yeah, but you know, the funny thing was, my dad was so open with that wherever we were, if we were at dinner and we hadn't seen him in 2 weeks, and it's like, oh, dad's home, we're all going to dinner. And then we'd sit down at this Italian restaurant every time, Canetto's in St. Louis, and somebody would come up to the table and he would pull out a chair and go, sit on down, tell me about your life. And then he got like Johnny from Paducah, Kentucky going, well, I grew up in the 50s. And yeah. So they didn't need to come to our house, is my point. At the grocery store, at restaurants, it didn't matter. Everybody was his friend.
I'm wondering what you took away from the broadcast last night. Are you watching as a broadcaster or can you just watch as a fan?
No, I'm watching these days as a broadcaster. I don't typically do that, but I think when I have tomorrow night on the horizon and I'm going to be in a studio in Denver, Smoltz is going to be in a studio in Jersey at MLB. Our producer, Pete Macheska, is going to be in LA. So we're going to be all spread out. I watched the game last night and Matt and Alex were at least together in the studio. But, you know, we're spread out all over the place, and John is doing a bunch of games, so that's why he's at MLB. So in order to bring us together, it would have been ridiculous. So we're going to do a dry run today. We're going to see how it all works communication-wise, and then we'll go do it. But I was practicing last night doing the game off the television, and it's a little different seeing the ball come kind of at you instead of watching the ball go away, which is where we – you know, see it and sit during a regular game.
But also, when you're going to call this game, and we know that it's kind of crazy times here, but how long do you think you're doing games before you're not really acknowledging the lack of ambiance there at a baseball game?
Yeah, I kind of feel, and maybe I'm wrong, I think on it, but I really don't want to beat that drum too much tomorrow. I mean, at some point, I think this becomes a nice distraction and something to theoretically bring people together, and just constantly reminding everybody of everything that we've all been through in our own ways over the last 4 months. I think people are tuning into a game to get away from that. So I don't. Nobody cares that John and I are not together. Nobody cares. You know, I think they just want to watch the game. And it's almost like, announcer guy, okay, enough. Shut up. Just let me watch Aaron Judge try to get a hit off Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, the feeling I got is, give me the tutorial. If you want to give me a once around, a drive-by, and just say, this is the setup, this is how it looks, and then that's it. After, you know, I just wanted to hear the game. I didn't want to hear, hey, this is weird for us to call the game, or hey, the sound or the cardboard cutouts. We want to get away. We want this. We need this. And the less I think you dwell on it, I think it is the better approach, Joe. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing the virtual fan thing, and you know, obviously everybody's going to weigh in, and some will like it, or most won't care because it just looks like a game. You know, the ones that are mad and stomping their feet will go on social media and stomp their feet. But I think trying to make it look and sound, this is entertainment too, look and sound as normal and as it's always been is kind of our job. So if we're constantly going, hey, all these people are fake, or hey, we're coming back from every break and we see cardboard, you know, still shots and moving shots of cardboard cutouts, I think that defeats the purpose. That's why people are watching the ball game, in my opinion, and I could be wrong.
What about the crowd noise? Are you pumping in crowd noise, and to what extent?
Yeah, I think that's kind of a work in progress. You know, they're doing it in these stadiums, and so typically our ambient mics just pick up what's in the stadium. We're not adding anything. So I think if that's sufficient, then we'll go with that. But you know, I was talking to our producer, and whoever these stadiums employ to do these crowd noise tracks, I'm sure they don't care what it sounds like on TV or on Fox or whatever. Or if they do, you know, how good are they in each stadium? So if it's not right and it seems weird, I think it's up to us to try to make it sound right and normal. It can't be a pop-up and everybody, you're playing a reaction like people are doing the wave and standing and screaming. It's a pop-up.
What do you think of extended playoffs here and that format for baseball?
To me, this was always the opportunity to have the test kit out there and see what works and what doesn't. I'm excited about a 60-game season. I know Smoltz is, just kind of the immediacy of it. And I really wanted to see even more. You know, if you're ever going to bring a pitch clock in and see how that goes, they're doing the runner at second base in extra innings, which I like. Let's get it going. Let's get a conclusion to this thing. And the same for the playoffs. You know, if all of a sudden they have this seeding and people seem to latch onto it, I just think 2020 is its own thing. And going back to the drawing board next offseason, they've got a new collective bargaining agreement to put together. And I think there's a lot of things that are potentially out there, like the universal DH. I some people like it, some people don't. I like the two different styles of baseball, but you know, throw it against the wall in 2020, see what sticks, and then move on in the future.
Got anything cool in the office there? Is that your office?
No, I'm in a Airbnb in Denver, Colorado. I'm scared to open drawers in an Airbnb. I don't want to know what's in there. I don't know whose hair is hanging out on the floor right now. It's certainly not mine. I do not have long black hair. I don't know if you know that, but there's a pile of long black hair in the corner of my room, and it's whoever was here last.
Boy. Maybe Troy Polamalu was there.
It does smell like Head and Shoulders in here.
You're working with Michelob Ultra, and you launched the hashtag Ultra Buck Calls. And I know that you had some fun with this, and then, you know, that people would send videos, and then you would do play-by-play, and then all of a sudden people sent you porn and then said, do play-by-play.
Then I got an offer. Then I got an offer to change directions entirely in my career and actually do live play-by-play for the visually impaired. That was in the contract for webcam porn. I don't know if you call it a video, just webcam porn. So yeah, I thought about it. And then I asked my mom and she's like, either pick your relationship with me or go ahead and do that. And I picked my relationship with my mom.
And your dad never got that offer, I'm guessing.
I don't think he did, but I think a grovelly voice, you know, let's take a look and see what's happening in bedroom number four.
I think I don't know. I think the call, I don't believe what I just saw. It's going to be a...
Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Explain this contest you're doing with Michelob Ultra.
Yeah, it's kind of a take on what we did at the beginning of the pandemic in this shelter in place, which... Last time I checked, had over 10 million views, and it was just play-by-play of people doing stuff around the house. Now, that could be, you know, cooking chicken wings on a barbecue grill. That could be playing with the dog. That could be some ridiculous shot. That could be people on a lake messing around and doing some trick surfing or whatever. I've seen it all, and I put my play-by-play to it, and on August 1st, the contest ends, and then we'll put four of them back on the internet that – makes people famous and something they're showing their friends and family for the rest of time.
But so you have all the videos there. You've already done them. And then
I've done some. I'm going to do more, I think, Monday. So it's the contest is open till August 1st. But I've seen a lot of them. The bottom line is when people clear out their living room and make a makeshift hoop out of an old Adidas box and play two-on-two hoops, that's fun. And I'm happy to do play-by-play to that. People are creative, as you know. We both know from what they send in on social media or whatever. So this is just tapping into that.
What's your NFL schedule? What have you been told?
So far, I think that obviously the preseason game that we had scheduled is gone, but we open up with Tampa Bay and Tom Brady at Drew Brees and the Saints the first weekend on a Sunday, and it's a lot of Brady early, and it's a lot of Cowboys late, and I'm hoping like crazy that we're there at the stadiums doing these games, but I don't know anything more than any fan does, and I think until we get around to it and these guys open camp and we see how it goes with this, it's all speculation, but I haven't heard anything to tell me I'm not going to be there on the first weekend of the season.
I'm wondering if we have fans at a baseball game before we have fans at a football game. Like, do you see that? NASCAR tested it out at Bristol Motor Speedway and they were able to get 20,000 in there, but could you see baseball as a possibility, or the fact that these football stadiums are a lot of these have a little bit more room there for these fans?
Yeah, I think it's all on the board. I would not be surprised if the, you know, the flattening of the curve happens. It certainly doesn't seem, because of these, you know, outbreaks in these hot cities that we keep hearing about, and states really, if this is really in the near future. I think kind of leaving it where it is right now and let everybody take a breath and see where this goes is the best idea. But yeah, I could see before the end of the season, there are fans socially distanced in the ballparks. Hopefully the experience is so unbelievable on TV that we don't have to worry about that.
It's great to talk to you. Hope the kids are good there, Joe, and everybody's healthy. So
the old 6 a.m. wake-up call for the 51-year-old dad of 2-year-old twin boys.
What were you thinking?
Yes, sir.
What were you thinking?
My wife is so tired of me saying, you know, I've already done this, or I'm too old for this. I'm like Riggs or Murtaugh, whichever one said that. I'm getting too old for this. I am too old for this, but it's awesome. It's great. But the mornings are really hard for me.
And it's always if there's an ability to act like you don't hear them crying that you learn as a parent. But, you know, my wife would just nudge me. Like, it does. I heard if, you know, my son or daughters were crying, it wasn't one of those, what? I didn't hear that. I'd just get the nudge. Hey, you go get them. It'd be 2 a.m.
Right.
So I don't know if you've mastered that or your wife can see right through that.
No, she sees her, but she sleeps through everything. She slept through me leaving in the middle of the night to go egg Todd's house last night. Didn't even know that I left. But I wake up at everything. If I hear one thing, I'm wide awake. So she knows I hear it.
Yeah. Todd, anything else you want to say to Joe just to kind of maybe say
anything you want me to tell Michelle?
Yeah.
Say hi to Michelle. I sincerely apologize that the way I stored the numbers when I'm trying to contact you, either she's getting it or you're both getting it, but it's a...
I don't get any of these. She just flips them over to me.
For the record, it was an innocent mistake, and I hope we're still pals and there's nothing untoward about
do
my
you think
text
I,
for you.
Do you think I care? Do you think I really care, Todd?
I don't think
do. You
think
know
you
me
do.
Well enough?
Okay. Your personality is such that
Todd,
you're fine
you sound
that.
Guilty, man.
Well, if you check the text, they're all about Joe. We'd like to have you on Thursday. I don't know what's...
Well, no, I will say this, Joe. If he knew it was your wife, then I would have worried because then the messages would have been different.
Well, wasn't she once a Broncos cheerleader? Yeah, I'm a big Denver Broncos fan. So I guess...
See, well, there you go.
You know,
there
you go. If you want to connect the dots, I don't want to, you know,
Todd,
incriminate myself.
You just did.
I am a big Broncos fan. I'll leave it at that.
Cut Todd's mic off.
God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will.
Yeah, just pass.
We still have the chaps. We still have the chaps. That's all I'm going to say, Todd.
Wow. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's Joe Buck. Nationals, Yankees, Saturday night at 7 Eastern on Fox. You can live off that little Bronco cheerleader chaps thing, Todd.
That was fabulous.
Look at the smile on your face. Leave Joe Buck alone.
He's got a great sense of humor.
Yeah, he needs to with you. All right, we'll take a break. Let's see. Coming up top of the hour, we'll talk to George Brett. Fritzy tells me it was 37 years ago today that the Pine Tar game took
July
place at Yankee Stadium.
1983.
I'm sure George is not tired of talking about that. Boy, do you think he goes a day without somebody bringing up the Pine Tar game?
But I read a quote saying that when that happened, he much preferred to be the Pine Tar guy than the hemorrhoid guy.
Yeah, I know. He hears them both. How about we have him on and we don't bring up the Pine Tar game?
That would be funnier to get to the end of the interview and he's wondering why we didn't bring it up.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Todd, you can't do this. You shouldn't do this.
That's not for public consumption.
Okay. Todd sent me a picture of
Joe's
wife when she was a Bronco cheerleader. Joe Buck's wife. Yeah. Seems like she's a really spirited person.
She's a very lovely woman, and I apologize that I've been harassing her trying to get Joe on the show and her getting those text messages.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Did you change your phone so you stopped doing that?
I have.
You have.
And they have different, there's different area codes, so that shouldn't happen again.
Did you delete her number?
I did not delete her number.
You have to delete, do it now.
Just to make sure that.
Just do it now. McLovin, just make sure he deletes her number, okay? Alex Rodriguez got roughed up last night. He was doing the game, and that was on ESPN. He's doing Yankees and the Nationals. And he had some things to say. Alex Rodriguez tells us the biggest sleeper this year, the Houston Astros, who have the third best odds to win the World Series. Not exactly in the sleeper category. Alex Rodriguez interviewing the commissioner. He said, Commissioner Manfred, I want to ask you about the leadership efforts to put together all this protocol between the players and the teams, I think he tells him what a great job that he did on this. Is that right,
Mick? Yeah, it got cut off. Great job.
Yeah.
And Manfred's response
job.
Is,
he said, well, thank you.
You.
Yeah. Not a question in there, but then A-Rod questioning the commissioner during the Yankees-Nationals game. Did he get in an opportunity to mention that he wanted to be an owner in that?
No, he just praised him the whole time. That was the main contention, by the way, in all these tweets, is how can A-Rod talk about MLB issues when he wants to buy a team? He can't criticize the league.
Okay, so it says A-Rod is questioning the commissioner during the Yankees-Nats game. Given that A-Rod's trying to get in on MLB ownership, Manfred has a meaningful role in that, would seem to raise some issues that drove ESPN to have A-Rod not call Mets games this year. Another one, Alex Rodriguez waxing philosophically about small ball is far too high a price to pay for playing baseball during a pandemic.
Not a small ball guy.
And then Alex says, real baseball is finally being played after 265 days. So let me tell you about this at bat I had back in 2002 for the next 7 minutes. Okay, so they're taking a shot.
Did he praise Daniel Snyder at all on the way out in the eighth inning?
Yeah, ESPN's got a... I know they like shiny objects, and you want to put somebody in there, but, you know, A-Rod's a businessman. You need a baseball person in there, not a business person. You know, you got to... I don't know why A-Rod's become the face of baseball. No? Yeah, McLevin.
But seriously, conflict of interest, if he's trying to buy a team,
yes, I wouldn't
can
have
he be
him.
The color guy
I
for
wouldn't
a
have
while.
Him in there. I wouldn't have him in there. That's all. You know, he has to pick. I mean, choose what you want to be. You want to be a businessman, be a businessman. But you can't be sort of in baseball or, you know, you're going to be a consultant to the Yankees or the Mets and then you want to buy the Mets and can't do it. Just, it doesn't look good. For ESPN to have him in that role. You know, John Smoltz just wants to play golf, and he's the Fox analyst. So there's no agenda, no hidden agenda. You know, Jessica Mendoza, you know, when she was in the booth, and then she was part of the Mets, and you can't have this. There are other talents out there to bring in. And A-Rod, I would just say to A-Rod, decide what you want. You want to be an analyst, be an analyst. But you can't have all of this here. And I would not have him in the booth. If he commits to it and people work with him, then he's got potential there. Because he does have great insight. And you would think that he played it at a high level, that he has to know the game. But I just think the credibility of your broadcast suffers. You know, with what he went through, tested positive a couple of times, trying to take down Major League Baseball in the process at the end of his career when he went... You know, kind of off the rails with that interview he did with Mike Francesa, WFAN. You know, and then you want to trot him out as your analyst? It just doesn't make sense. And I remember being with John Skipper, the Yankee president at the time, or the ESPN president at the time, and he said, "We're gonna have A-Rod do Sunday Night Baseball." And I said, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, think he'll be great." And I said, "Okay." And look, I know I don't get along with A-Rod and vice versa, but I can still respect. There are people that I don't get along with who I respect with what they do. I just have a, you know, we have a difference. That's all. George Brett will join us coming up. Final hour this Friday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show.